Monday, January 22nd, 2018, and I welcome you to the Cherry Beach Town Council meeting for January. We'll start with the prayer. God, we come to you today asking for your guidance, wisdom, and support as we begin this meeting. Help us to engage in meaningful discussion. Allow us to grow closer as a group and nurture the bonds of community. And fill us with your grace as we make decisions that will affect the residents of Cherry Beach. Continue to remind us that all that we do here today and all that we accomplish should be for the good of the entire Cherry Beach community and to your glory. Amen.
Amen.
Pledge allegiance to the flag, please rise. Pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Okay, first, consent agenda items. Everybody accept the consent agenda or any changes or anything for discussion that needs to be moved out? If not, may I please have a motion to approve?
Make a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. Moving on to adoption of the agenda. Are there any deletions or additions to the agenda as noted? If there are none, may I have a motion to accept the agenda, please?
Make a motion to accept the agenda as presented.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Against? Okay. We're starting this evening with a public hearing. The public hearing is for the system development fee. It's a proposed system development fee assessment of $592.26 for water and sewer connection for all new development per unit. The hearing was advertised in Star News on January 14th and in the Island Gazette on January 17th. Additionally, a 45-day public comment period was held from November 7th to December 22nd. So that hearing is now open for any comments on that fee.
Did anyone sign up?
Does everyone understand the fee and its purpose?
Any questions?
Yeah, so this fee, we had a fee that the legislature in their infinite wisdom basically invalidated. And that fee was for new construction so that we could build up funds so that the rest of us that already have paid for the infrastructure for water and sewer didn't pay extra. So basically, if you improved a property, you paid a fee, and it was about $5,000? $2,500, thank you, Carmel. So when the legislature invalidated that fee, we requested that Arlen put something in place to help us, because as we build up properties, water and sewer infrastructure has to be installed to support those, and we think the people requiring that should pay for that. So that's what the fee's for. And I don't remember exactly how Arlen calculated it. I shouldn't remember that. But
well, it was very specific. The House bill was very specific how you had to calculate.
Yeah, so basically the legislature told us how to calculate it, and so that's all we can ask for. So from $2,500, it goes down to $529 and some pennies. $592 and some pennies, right? So it's a good thing for those of us that already developed our properties. If you have undeveloped property, you might not like it as much. But I think in the scheme of how we charge people for services, I think it's the right thing to do for the citizens, to make people that make us that infrastructure pay at least some of it. Because we're all going to pay for it in our water and sewer. Yes, sir.
That's a one-time fee?
Yes, sir. It's just a one-time fee.
Do the words per unit
mean, if I put a duplex or someone puts a duplex on a piece of property, that's two units or what?
It's two. That's right. So if you do multi-unit structure, it would be twice or if you had a triplex in the property.
Any questions? Understood? No public comments? This is a public hearing. Okay. All right. Discussion and consideration of presentations to council.
Installed late in the fall, early winter, we were able to use the courts minimally before the weather got too cold. Our observations and suggestions are included below. The basketball pickleball court has a border of sand and weeds which transfer onto the court upon entry and from chasing errant balls. This presents a slip hazard for the athletes, which creates a liability for the town. Our suggestion is to use pea gravel around the edges that can be easily swept clean. Number two, the tennis and pickleball court is painted with non-contrasting colors, which makes seeing the boundary lines very difficult, especially when the sun is angled. According to the USA Pickleball Association guidelines, if adding lines to an existing tennis and basketball court, tone-on-tone lines in the same color family as the court itself should be used. Our suggestion is that the town allow the pickleball players of Curry Beach to fund the purchase of the approved line paint. I've got a website that is through their site, and repaint the lines on the tennis court according to USAPA specifications. And I've got a website for those specifications. I've got a petition here of 23 signatures and then also some pictures, which I will let you all look at. The ones that say KB are obviously Curry Beach. And if you can see the lines on there, you've got a better eye than I do. The first two. And then the remaining pictures are of some other locations. One is Spinnaker Point up at the north end of Carolina Beach. Theirs was just recently done. And then also the Mike Chapel Park. And theirs is painted red. So, any questions?
What is pickleball?
I've heard of it, but I'm not quite familiar with it. So.
Pickleball is sort of a combination of paddle tennis using a wiffle ball. Great exercise. I've got a couple of my pickleball buddies here. Maybe a little bit different than tennis, a little bit smaller court, can be very fast. We've gotten good at it, and we really enjoy it, and we'd like a location that we can utilize better than not being able to see the lines.
Mm-hmm. Did you say this was on the basketball court?
It's on the basketball court, and then also on the western tennis court. The one on the eastern side is not as lined strictly for tennis. The one on the west side.
The one on the basketball court, how do you erect the net?
They're portable nets that the town purchased. Yeah, and so we set it up, every time and then take it back down and lock it back up.
Thank you.
It's one of the hottest growing sports for seniors.
Oh, no, not just seniors.
Well, yeah, but seniors tend to really like it. Yeah. It works out well in that situation, and this growth is just amazing how it's going.
Last year we had a gentleman that came and played for a short period of time that taught it in high school for 30 years. So it's not new.
Alan, are you specifically looking this way?
Yeah, I was looking at seniors.
Yeah.
I provide a lot of pickleball courts in my day. So.
Looking at all the gray hair.
Right? Yeah. So. I got a lot of that too.
Any other points you wish to make on this?
No, sir.
No? All right. Well, thank you. The way this works is we will take it under advisement. We'll discuss it, and then someone will be back to you.
Okay, great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other presentations for council? Debbie?
Good evening. My name is Debbie Elliott, and I'm here on behalf of the Curry Beach Marketing Committee. And we were asked to come and present our proposal for the rollover budget. These are the funds raised through room occupancy tax that are earmarked for tourism, travel and tourism marketing. So the first bit of the presentation is from the advertising agency Clean, and then there's a second part to the rollover budget that is from the PR agency. So I'll go over this first. Let's see.
Did anyone put a mark in the
Sorry. There you go. Ah, here we go. All right. Here are the rollover media recommendations for spring 2018. And as y'all probably know, the rollover funds are funds that we roll over from the budget where we were able to. Some more funds likely came in through room occupancy tax that were anticipated, so we roll those funds over, and then they make recommendations on how to best use those funds. So in terms of the audience for the use of the rollover budget, the primary audience is within state. It's the Triangle area, Greensboro, Winston-Salem, Charlotte, and Fayetteville. And then the secondary audiences are from our primary feeder markets like Richmond, Virginia, Columbus, Ohio, Pittsburgh, Myrtle Beach, Baltimore, Charleston, West Virginia, Knoxville, Tennessee, and Lexington, Kentucky. So it's a 60-40 in-state, out-of-state targeting split applied to all spring media. Okay, so the first recommendation is Facebook video. Everything is about video these days in terms of marketing. So this is a $15,000 recommended budget for video on Facebook with the objective to boost awareness and drive engagement among Facebook users and the Curry Beach brand. Complement Facebook display campaign as users spend an average of 5 times longer viewing a video than a static ad. So what the program would entail, these are 15-second pre-roll video. Facebook's comprehensive targeting will be leveraged to reach a qualified audience with an interest in travel. So Facebook, as we all know, is very, very smart, and these videos are able to really target folks who are potential tourists for our area.
Ms. Elliott, who creates the video and gets it posted on?
That would be Clean Design. They're our advertising agency of record and have been for a number of years. They handle the creative and the recommendations for all of the communities that comprise the Wilmington and Beaches Convention and Visitors Bureau.
So they're a local company?
No, they're out of like the Durham-Raleigh area.
So they send somebody down here to film a 15-second video?
I can't tell you exactly what they do, but I mean they're in our market quite a bit. I mean, and you know, they have been in our market for quite some time. They are, I have to tell you, I've been on the committee for what, a little over 2 years now. I'm very, very impressed with them. They really know all of the newest things that are going on. And the thing about it, y'all, is the reason I'm very impressed with them is that of all the communities, of course, we have the least amount of money when it comes to the travel and tourism dollars through room occupancy tax. And they have been able to take those funds and, in my opinion, do a lot with a little.
I'll go back to the first one, but the 60-40 split, is that a split financially or population or?
Financially.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who picks the 15-minute items? Does your team pick that?
They present creative options to the marketing committee.
Okay, and then the marketing committee
will have
is
an
invited.
Opportunity
okay,
to weigh
good.
In. Yeah.
Right.
Okay. And then the second bit that they're recommending is using TripAdvisor. And this is to increase awareness of Curie Beach as a destination, drive deeper engagement, capitalize on TripAdvisor's qualified audience of vacation planners, drive them to Curie Beach's website. And this ad buy of $5,000 on TripAdvisor in February and March would give us 236,000 guaranteed impressions served on North Carolina coastal related pages and Curie's tourism pages on TripAdvisor. And then the third part is what's called an influencer campaign through iExplore. And the objective is to supplement the spring influencer campaign with incremental funds to increase coverage and engagement opportunities. Influencers are folks that are online that yield a great deal of influence. They may be bloggers or YouTube folks or, you know, whatever they are, but they have a lot of followers and they have the opportunity to truly influence their followers based on what they post. And the way it works is that they are paid to post. The program details, this would include, the $5,000 would include one influencer trip to Curie Beach, 75 guaranteed social media posts, 2 blog posts on Influencer's blog, and 1 on TravelMindset.com, 20 amplification shares from iExplore, and 2 additional influencers share content on their channels. So influencers follow influencers, so that's where the 2 additional ones come in.
A couple questions on that one, Debbie. Of all of these, this one always makes me feel the oddest. And how do we select the influencer? I mean, I know you're not selecting it. I get the TDA is selecting the influencer. Can you tell me a little bit about who that is and maybe how they determine? Like, do they determine it by this person's blogs and his blogger following is a million people or something?
Well, the great thing about anything online is that there's so much data out there that enables clean design to truly, you know, dig into the data and determine, you know, in the travel and tourism area, who are the influencers who are truly having an impact on individual and family decision making. And so, you know, all the research shows that, you know, people are making their purchasing decisions and their traveling decisions based on recommendations and reviews and so forth, and they're finding a lot of that online. So the folks who are going to be targeted here are going to be it's going to be someone who has truly demonstrated that they have the ability to influence.
Okay, so we don't necessarily know who it is at this point in time. It would be, this is money dedicated to finding somebody to do that work.
Yeah, and I think the finding of that person, like, I could go out and find them, you know, tomorrow. But, you know, this is their area of expertise,
mm-hmm.
and
sure.
They, you know, they do a lot with travel and tourism. So my guess is that most of those funds are going towards the influencer, and that they probably have kind of a group of influencers, you know, that they already can identify and pick the one that would be the best match for Curie.
Okay, so my last question probably on this item is that, is Wrightsville and Carolina Beach also using influencers?
I'm sure that they are. Okay. I cannot tell you definitively.
Okay.
But I would be very surprised if they were not.
Okay.
So one person gets $5,000 to come down here to stay a weekend or a week, and Carolina Beach will have $5,000 to do the same thing. Wrightsville will have $5,000 to do the same thing.
They might have $20,000. Okay. You know, my guess is that our bucket is the smallest.
It should have been an influencer.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, there are people who are quite affluent from what they have been able to, you know, generate online. If you really think about it, there's really not a great deal of difference between paying a blogger that might have an audience of 250,000 to get the message right in front of their audience than it is to go and pay the Star News for an ad that goes out to a subscription base of 100,000. It's just a very new way of doing it, you know what I mean?
Understood.
Yeah. These last two slides have guarantees in them?
Well, they have guarantees in terms of the number of impressions.
Right. Does the marketing committee track that? And if that one said 230-some thousand.
Yeah, I mean,
it was only 200,000. Do we get our money back? Or how's
no, the way it works is that, you know, that when you're purchasing this for 5,000, you are guaranteed X number of impressions. So definitely they are tracking that. It's not an there's no ambiguity in that regard.
So if you gave them more money, they would guarantee more impressions.
Yep.
Okay,
and the spring 2017 campaign, this just shows you some of the kind of the postings from the influencers. This is just an example of Get Your Vitamin C Fix in Curie Beach, North Carolina. And then again, a posting from this particular influencer's trip to the aquarium in Curie Beach and so forth. That just gives you a sense of the type of material that they would be posting. And so in the spring 2017 campaign results, there was 3.65 million influencer social post impressions, 39,312 native article page views, 3,400 native article shares. And, you know, a native article is sort of like that sponsored content that you see sometimes, you know, when you're looking at a blog or a Facebook page or anything. It appears just in the regular content of the news, but if you look closer, it will say sponsored content. That's what they call native articles. 601 likes on social media, 204 average seconds spent on articles, and 71 influencer posts on social media. And that just shows you, in terms of the rollover budget, when the funds will be allocated. You'll see February and March for both TripAdvisor and the influencer campaign, and then March and April for the Facebook video pre-roll, with the total spend being $25,000. And that is it for the paid part of the presentation.
So, in the December agenda, we approved $32,447.70 of the requested total, right? And at this meeting, we're going to address the remaining 10%, $3,605.30. So, have you broken it up that way? You just got to $25,000, so there's $7,000 that was approved that I assume you're going to tell us about. And then you're going to talk about the $3,600 that we didn't approve.
Yeah,
is that right?
The budget that I have in front of me, that I hope that you might have a copy in front of you. The digital media is $25,000. The social media, which I'm about to go over, is $6,350. And the contingency is the $4,703 for the total of $36,053.
Okay, so the contingency has gone up. It was 2203, and you said it's now 4,500?
4,703. $4,703.
$4,703. That's more than 10%. Okay.
And what does contingency mean in your budget then? Just so I understand.
Isn't the contingency what y'all always ask us to hold back?
It was. I was just making sure. Well, this is your budget. I wanted to see if we were in agreement on what we...
I thought that was a trick question.
No, I just wanted to see if we agreed on what we were talking about, right?
Yeah.
Because I asked the fire department to reach out to the marketing committee, and they haven't got back to him about a specific issue around marketing that he's going to bring up later in the meeting, and you guys should talk about, one, is it allowed, and two, where it would come from, and that's why I wanted to understand what contingency was.
I have not heard of.
So I'm not sure who were you talking to?
It probably went to the...
Yeah. We need to know the name. Obviously, Debbie does, right? Because she hadn't heard about it.
It probably was. Did y'all contact the CPB directly? The convention of
business? No, somebody on. I thought our marketing committee, but I don't know. Maybe not.
I'll have the email back at the fire station.
We'll make sure you guys get in touch and talk.
Okay.
Right?
Sure. Okay. Let's see. Yeah. Please. Thank you.
So then we've already approved it, right? If you're asking for.
Well, it was my understanding that y'all approved it, but that you wanted me to come tonight to
you didn't
to go
anything
over the recommendations. Am I wrong?
On the consent agenda, it says, did we take it off the consent agenda?
Take it off the consent agenda.
Well, I'm looking at the notes you gave me. Okay, sorry. I was reading the minutes from last month, and it says we approved it. Okay.
Right.
Okay, that's fine. Sorry.
Yep. So we,
Okay.
Oh, so you didn't approve it yet?
I guess not. Oh, okay. I was reading. Sorry, I can't remember that far away. It's been a long month.
Yeah. Okay, so these are the recommendations from French West Bond, which is the, they handle the PR and social media for the campaigns. Okay. So, part of their recommendations includes video content amplification. Video content, as we talked about in the other presentation, is definitely more engaging than static content. Videos posted on Curry Beach's channels perform well in terms of engagement. The Go Local KB campaign that was launched in May of 2017, highlighting video interview of community celebrities and favorite business owners and staff, showed particularly high engagement. Let's see. Whoop. I apologize. So French Quest Bond recommends amplifying the spring video content with paid support. It extends the reach of the video content. This is like how you can pay to boost and extend the reach of your social media postings. It targets prospects programmatically based on their interests and behaviors. Sequence creative, so users see multiple versions of creative sequentially. Further retarget users with messaging that encourages visitation. So you know how, like, when you go and look for something online, and then all of a sudden that something starts to follow you everywhere else you are online? That's what they mean by the retargeting. Optimize campaign for reach with links to drive website impact. The budget is $5,600. The potential reach is 177,000 for a 4-month campaign.
Okay.
Facebook and Instagram Live. This is incorporating motion into social media content mix. It encourages engagement. Motion of all types, like GIFs, Facebook Live, Instagram Stories, are more engaging than static content. Live video content is being heavily promoted in Facebook's news feed. Nearby Carolina Beach Facebook Live events have been performing really well. And the budget here is $750. French West Vaughn recommends testing live video for Curry Beach in the spring at the anniversary of the Battle of Fort Fisher, and then utilize live stream capabilities on Facebook and Instagram. And that is it.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, the reason this is important, this money comes from our ROT taxes, the people who come and stay here. The state government tells us how we can spend this money. And part of the spending is on generating new tourist, new tourism activities. It's important to our economy. It's important to our taxpayers. It's delivers more than $250,000 to costs associated with lifeguards and other things that we do relative to our beach. It's a very important item. It's very important. You might ask, why do you want more people to come? This is actually an important aspect of that. So if you have any questions, feel free to ask them. If not, we'll... Any questions for Debbie? Yes, Greg.
Just a real quick comment. You know, again, I'm the director, a senior administrator for the Entrepreneurship Center at the University and a School of Business professor. Just want to remind everybody that we do have a Department of Recreation and Hospitality at the university. We've got a Department of Marketing. We have a Department of Computer Science. We also have a film studies, about 10 graduate students who do videos through the Entrepreneurship Center. We also have many folks here in the community that do exactly this type of work. So, you know, again, I think somebody raised the question about where this group is in Raleigh. And I would strongly recommend that perhaps in the future that maybe you look internally to Wilmington so we don't have economic leakage of dollars that are being generated here going up to Raleigh, but we do keep them here in the community. When you look at impressions, you know, impressions are no guarantees. That's simply the number, you know, like if you have a circulation of a magazine and they put an ad in there, they've got 30,000 in circulation, they'll call that 30,000 impressions. So you know, certainly there's people capable of doing exactly what you have here, and I will assure you that certainly working with the university, and particularly, you know, saying the videos, that we could get these videos done for one-tenth of the cost, I think, over here. Okay. So anyway, just a recommendation about maybe looking locally in the future.
That's good feedback. I would recommend that maybe the university go down, see Kim Huffman, who runs the CVB, the Visitors Bureau, and who makes a lot of these decisions. And I think you could probably get
plus
quite a bit of work.
Plus, companies that do this, too. It's not just the university. There are local companies who do exactly this type of thing. So, you know, just I'm always concerned that as an economist about economic leakage of dollars that are being generated here that are not staying in the community.
Okay. All right, any questions for Debbie?
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, do I have a motion to approve the...
Yes, I make a motion to approve the requested budget with the contingency of $4,703.
Second.
All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All opposed? Okay,
and
passed.
Debbie, are you staying? Because if she's leaving, I want to bring something else up first.
Okay.
And it's okay if you're leaving. We can talk about, if it's okay, we can talk about it now. I think it's on the agenda for the fire department. I'm okay either way. Number four under department head business. Can you wait through department head business? Can you stay? Good. Okay.
Yeah.
Then we don't have to smooth
it that
there
way.
You. Right. Do it that way. Yes, sir.
Any other presentations for council? Okay. Discussion in consideration of committee business. Board of Adjustments. Community Center. Marketing Committee. We've just gone through that. Planning and Zoning Commission.
Again, Craig Galbraith, Vice Chairman of the P&Z Commission here. Again, Mayor and Commissioners, as you know that we were asked to interview potential candidates for our vacant positions on the Planning and Zoning Commission. We had five very good candidates. I want to thank the folks you know, that did come to the last P&Z meeting and go through the interview process. Again, we have one permanent position on the P&Z, and then we have one alternative position. The alternative position is that if somebody does leave the P&Z, then that person automatically then takes that permanent type of position. The process, and I believe you have all the minutes in your packet, including our recommendation. The process is that we did interview all five members. Every member on the PMZ, the four remaining members, asked questions. After we went through all five candidates, we then went into a closed session. We had a good discussion. I will say that we did have a discussion, and there was unanimous agreement that all five candidates were certainly agreeable, qualified, and we certainly would feel comfortable with any of the five candidates, so I just want to make sure that's clear. We did have a little bit of a discussion as to how we wanted to present our results to the council. It was a majority decision, not unanimous, that that we would present two candidates in order of recommended for the permanent position as one for the alternate position. Our recommendation is in your minutes, so I'll let you go ahead and read that without, you know, mentioning that. And so, you know, that's where we are today.
Okay. Any questions to the planning and zoning, Vice Chairman? Okay. If the individuals would please stand and introduce themselves. I know some of them. I don't know all of them. Maybe. What's that?
It's later in the agenda.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, so we can vote right afterwards.
Okay. Oh, yes, that's at the old business. My apologies. Okay. Shoreline access and beach protection. Nothing to report? Okay.
Sounds look good, though.
Almost done. Almost ready for presentation.
Okay. Non-town committee reports. I don't believe there are any here tonight. Okay. Discussion and consideration of department head business, administration, and recreation.
Just one real quick. I'm very pleased to announce that we did finally get our state permits for stormwater exemption and DOT, which we've been waiting on. So the notice to proceed is issued effective tomorrow. It means the builder can come on site and start rocking and rolling with our new expansion, renovation, and construction of a fire station. It's a 300-day contract, and that starts tomorrow.
And after the 300 days, we run into
liquidated damages,
meaning we get money back. So
unless it's our fault.
unless it's our fault, or unless weather drives it right. But we
or
do need to.
Right.
Yeah.
But, I hate to say the word, but. Yeah.
But we certainly want to circle that date on the calendar.
Okay. And we will be scheduling a groundbreaking, hopefully the week of February 12th, as soon as you can get back to me on your availability. But it will be announced.
Okay. Looking at February 12th.
That week.
That's the week we have the. We have to go to Sunset Beach.
Right. Or the next week, whatever.
Finance Department.
Nothing for me.
Nothing, Arlen? Okay. Building Department.
Nothing, sir.
Nothing, John? Fire Department.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, Council. Ed Kennedy, Fire Chief. I'm simply here tonight to request that council directs the marketing committee to work with the fire department this year on our fire department fundraiser. It's our fishing tournament that we do every year. At this time, I apologize, I do not have any exacts on what the marketing efforts might be or any sort of costs. This is just to get the ball rolling to see if this is an allowable resource for us to use.
Right, so just to add to that, it came up at the board of directors meeting, so that's why I know about it. The issue is in the last 30 years, so the Gatamon Classic fishing tournament was started by the Carolina and Creek Beach Fire Department. Over the last 30 years, or I don't even know how long it is, 30 or 40 years, 34 years, it's raised $181,000 for each of the fire departments. It's what built the building that the current fire department is in. The tournament has asked the two fire departments to help them basically market it, right? And as we were talking about at the board of directors meeting, that seemed like a great opportunity to let the marketing committee do what the marketing committee does, right? So so all I'd ask is council to provide the allowance of the fire department, the fire chief, to work with the marketing committee, one, to see if it's allowed, because I'm not sure if it's allowed under the marketing rules, And two, what kind of opportunities or synergy can be there to support that? It does bring tourists into the area. It's technically to Carolina Beach, but the citizens have benefited greatly over the years from that tournament. And if we spend a little bit marketing or use their technical resources to market it, I think it fits. It may fit under the rules, right? And I think the marketing committee's got to tell us if it does. And then it pays back. The money comes back to the fire department. The fire department spends it in the community. So it's good. It's good for both entities, I think. So that was my thought.
Well, we can actually do two things, right? We can check with the CVB if we can get if we can use some of the funds for that. You're right, it does bring in tourists, quite a few actually. That's quite an event. And if not, for some reason, we could still ask our marketing department, who has significant skills, to at least assist in ideas and ways that we might be able to present that to the to get the word out. So we'll get a hold of the CVB and see if we can do that.
So I think it needs council consensus at least.
Yeah.
Right, so I make a motion or request council consensus for the fire chief to work with the marketing committee on supporting or reviewing if it is an option to support marketing the fundraiser for the fire department, the largest fundraiser for our fire department, okay. And Caroline Beaches as well.
The marketing committee meets tomorrow morning.
Perfect.
Mm-hmm. And I will be there, so I can bring it up. And we can.
The chief will be glad to be there.
Yes, sir. Yeah. What time is that?
11 o'clock in the community center.
I'll be there.
Do we have consensus?
I'm fine.
I'm in.
All right. Okay. We'll take this effort and see what we can accomplish.
Thank you, Council.
Thanks, Chief.
Okay.
Thank you for staying in.
Thanks. Police Department.
Nothing.
Nothing? All right. Public Works Department. Jimmy?
No.
No? Okay.
Did everyone get the update that Jimmy provided on the Third Street issue?
Thank you, Jimmy.
Everybody good?
I did. I saw that.
Okay, good. Thank you. No. If you have any questions, please go ahead.
What's the size of that pipe, Jimmy?
It'd be 2 inches.
It'd be a 2-inch pipe, 480 feet. Is that what it was?
420, something
where's
like that.
Where's it going to? Down to East Street?
It's going down Terminal E to Fort Fisher Boulevard.
Okay, so it's going, okay, so it's going to be mm-hmm.
Has the owner agreed to put in the pump?
He has not. He said thank you. He has not responded to anything.
Yeah, he will. So the issue with this, so for the community, the issue is a homeowner had requested help on stormwater issues. And basically the way the town does that is we provide a drainage on public property and then they have to get the water from private property to public property. So we don't spend your money to get it off someone's property. But once they get it there, and so multiple properties have installed sumps with pumps to pump out if they're lower than the road to get to this drain. And this area doesn't have a drain nearby, so we've been working with this homeowner for a while. It kind of got behind on our list, and so he requested an update. And so that's what Public Works has done, and council had been contacted numerous commissioners, so I want to make sure they get the answer. So that's all we have.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
All right. Move on to discussion and consideration of old business. The appointments to Planning and Zoning Commission for regular and alternate position. For the regular and the alternate position. So if I might, Dee, could you stand up so we know who you are?
Yes,
like
Dee.
Most of us do.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, nice. Dee. Retha? Thank you. Randy. Thank you. Richard. Thank you. And Robert Young is not here. He was unable to attend this evening. He's out of town. So, okay, there has been Submission of information. I believe each of you has submitted your application, which was reviewed. Each of you was interviewed by the Planning and Zoning Committee, came forward and said, first of all, we're very blessed to have five outstanding candidates. It makes the selection more difficult. However, it is something we do have to come to conclusion on so that we can, if you are not selected for that committee, I would encourage you to get involved in other committees. We have plenty of places for you to get engaged in the town where your expertise could help significantly. Based on the information that was provided, are there any questions for any of the particular candidates?
Mr. One, I appreciate all the candidates' inputs. It's nice to be able to read what you guys are thinking, and I agree with what the P&Z said and the mayor. It's nice to have a bunch of good advocates that are interested in participating in the town. It was very interesting to see the five of you's different views of the question that's most interesting to me, which is your view of variances. We're fortunate in the town to have had, I shouldn't say strict building inspectors, but building inspectors that take variances as not allowed. I think there's, John, you're here, but I think there's four variances in the town that I know of, right? Over 50-some years, 57 years, or however old we are now. If you think about that, and then you go up to Carolina Beach and look at variances, there's like, I know of over 400 and probably a lot more than that in Carolina Beach. John, any thoughts on how many there really are?
I have no idea.
and that shows up in a lot of ways. So it was, I really appreciate the answers to all to those questions. So thank you very much.
Anybody?
I don't have any additional.
You don't have any additional questions? Anyone else have additional questions? All of you were very consistent in the height observation, very seriously wanted to keep the heights. There was some interesting inputs, and those particular inputs as to maybe future projects had no bearing on the particular conclusion. So if we don't have any questions, then obviously in our minds we must have our candidates relatively set based on the information. If that is true, I would like to discuss first the permanent position for the Planning and Zoning Committee. Do I have any nominations for the permanent position for Planning and Zoning based on the information that we have here?
I would make a motion that Retha Deaton would be the permanent member.
Retha?
Mm-hmm. She has 12 years experience with the city of Carolina.
Okay.
So.
I'll second.
Second? Okay, we have a motion and a second, therefore we will have a vote. So all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All against? Retha, congratulations. You're the permanent member.
I will try not to disappoint either the Planning and Zoning Commission or the Council.
Well, 18 years of previous experience on planning and zoning has certainly had a lot to do with, I think, carrying the day on that. Secondly, we have the position for the alternate. The alternate is expected to attend the meetings so that they are up to speed should they have to become a permanent member. Do I have any, based on the information that was presented, based on the recommendation from P&Z, based on the data provided by each of the candidates, do we have any recommendations or motions for individuals for the alternate position?
I would make a motion for Robert Young to be the alternate member.
Okay, we have a motion on the floor for Robert Young. Do we have a second or discussion?
Well, I think from my standpoint of reviewing the applications, they're all good. That was a recommendation from P&Z, so I'll second. Okay. But I have a strong, and for the candidates that didn't make it, there were some really strong candidates. So I was very impressed with it. Hopefully you guys will run for office so I don't have to be up here in 2 years. So. Dee, looking at you.
Okay, we have any other discussion? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Against? Okay, so Robert Young will be the alternate. Once again, I want to say thank you to the other candidates, and please look at the other opportunities within the town. We need the skills, we need the capabilities that you have. He has helped on a variety of things, helped me personally quite a bit on ROT. Randy, I don't know you personally, but based on your background, you can offer a lot. And likewise, you too can offer a tremendous amount to this town. I would, maybe in the future, council position. You're not paid extremely well, but but I would tell you that it can be rewarded, because you can make a difference at the community level. Okay. Proposed draft amendments, Chapter 19, Zoning Code of Ordinances regarding setback regulation, clarification, and consistency, from P&Z. John, I believe this is something you brought forward two meetings ago when you were the P&Z chair.
Yes. We were trying to clean up the code of ordinances regarding the definition of yards and setbacks. Great work by Mr. Batson and our attorney, Mr. Eldridge, while I was on the P&Z. We brought that forward. I presented it at the November meeting. And then, as I recall, Ms. Swearingen asked a couple questions about one particular yard on a corner, and then asked us to go back and take a look at it. In fact, we might have presented it in October, re-looked at it in November, and didn't have any additional changes because of what Ms. Swearingen asked about. And I would defer, Mr. Galbraith would like to add to that.
No, I think that's summarized.
So it's my understanding that this changes none of the setbacks. It just clears the language in 19 places to be consistent to the current setbacks.
That's correct. That's my, basically the attorney went through it, and we went through it fairly carefully. And I think you'll probably see a number of things coming forward in the next year where we try to clean up the language and other things. Mm-hmm. So this is just kind of cleaning up the language and some of the setbacks related to yards and corner lots and things that type of thing. So this was a unanimous vote to bring this forward to the council.
Okay.
Now, because they are changes to the ordinance, I think if the council accepts it as presented, then there'll have to be a public hearing on it.
That's my understanding, yes. That there needs to be a public hearing on this particular item.
Right. John, any input?
Is there,
none?
As they described it, it's cleaning up the language.
Okay. Any further comments? Any discussion?
John, where is RA1? Just so
First Baptist Church, that's a large area right there on 6th and 7th Avenue.
Okay.
And then a lot of beach walk in the village is also on RA1A.
It just has a weird corner side yard that I hadn't caught before. That's fine. Okay,
before we go to public, before we have a public hearing, we wait for the public hearing before we have a motion.
I need you to motion to schedule a public hearing.
Okay.
For
May I have a motion to schedule a public hearing?
We have a public hearing to address the proposed draft amendments on Chapter 19 of the Zoning Code of Ordinances regarding setback regulation, clarification, consistency.
I'll second that.
As the first order of business on your February meeting.
Okay.
You have to set a date time.
Mm-hmm. You second?
I'll still second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes. All right. Uh, The proposed system development fee assessment of $592 for water and sewer connection for all new development per unit. We had our hearing. Any further discussion?
I make a motion we approve as presented for a system development fee assessment of $592 for water and sewer connection for all new development per unit as allowed by the North Carolina legislature.
Second.
Nancy makes me do something different, yes?
What would you like us to add, Nancy?
She's got something for
suggested
reading.
Motion. We have to put.
Development fee, okay, I'm coming.
You have to adopt some amendment changes in the amendment to the fee schedule. You know that she's coming.
She's here.
Here it is, Dan.
There we go. Sorry. Thank you, Nancy, for keeping me in trouble. So you need me to do all these, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so. Motion to amend Chapter 17, Sections 42C, 48, 126B and C, and 127A and D of the Code of Ordinances and the fee schedule as presented. The code amendments will not require a public hearing. So that's my full motion.
Okay.
Mr. Mayor.
That is the recorrected motion, or the corrected motion.
I'll second.
You have a second? All in favor?
Can I have a discussion? Is it 526-26 or 526-00?
$592.
Okay, 592. Okay, thank you.
With that, then, John, you can start to charge
that
as part of building permit.
Yep.
Starting tomorrow.
So, how long have we went without being able to charge? How many? Do we know how many permits we've issued? It doesn't matter. Do you know how many?
We've gone at least 7 months.
Okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So 7 months worth.
Okay.
We got a good deal.
Yeah. All right. Any discussion and consideration for new business?
Is there no way to recoup that money?
They don't do retroactive.
No.
Yeah. We acted as fast as the legislature helped us out. We might have been able to do it a month earlier, maybe, but because you had to do the public hearings, they took a long time to figure out exactly. They initially just did away with it. And then all the cities complain because it's pretty, to us, I mean, it's significant, but it's not huge. But to some of the bigger cities, it's very huge. Ours was probably a more reasonable fee than some of the other larger municipalities. It was a lot bigger.
You said at one point it was $2,500, but it got reduced down.
Yes.
Yep.
The legislature.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Sure.
Wow.
Yep.
Okay.
Given that that fund is an enterprise fund, has to pay for itself, it does have implications. So,
thank you.
No problem. Good question. Discussion and consideration of new business. Here's an example of areas where we do need good support. We had advertised for the Wilmington Metropolitan Planning Organization Citizens Action Committee. We received one candidate. Candidate is a qualified candidate. But they were closed on January 9th. Therefore, do I have a motion to appoint the lone candidate?
I make a motion that we accept Mr. John Cawthorn, who was the candidate that submitted. He has been attending the WMPO CAT for 3 months already, and they have asked him to be the vice chair of that committee if we so approve. Him being the town's representative. He is also currently a member of the town planning and zoning committee. So John is involved in the in this town. I don't know his exact address, but he lives in the Sea-Watch community.
281 Sea-Watch.
281.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. I'll second his motion.
Okay. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? All right, Mr. Cawthorn will be our citizen or CAC member for the WMPO. John, will you notify him?
I will.
Okay. Request for potential wheelchair access at beach access.
Everything.
Sorry?
David's.
Wheelchair first.
Wheelchair access?
Oh, sorry. Yeah. I was jumping
okay.
ahead.
Okay. All right. Request for potential wheelchair access at beach access at 1004 and a half at Myrtle and Ocean View. At the north end of the town, we do not have a handicap access. We have a request from the citizens in the Hanby area for access. In particular, there is at least one wheelchair individual there who struggles to get on the beach.
I saw four instances last summer where they borrowed or rented the beach wheelchairs.
Yeah.
And somebody had to help and assist get them up the steps.
Okay. Now, there was a picture in what came out that it's about, it's three steps. I mean, we have the option, we can discuss this, probably of piling sand up to cover those for a ramp, putting in a ramp, or I would say that's probably the choices unless somebody has other ideas.
Well, we would have to put in a ramp. You can't just pile the sand because then it'll be gone again, right? If we're going to do it, we need to do it right.
Okay.
I think John said it's not a CAM issue. We don't think, at least from your email, right, John? So it's just getting a permit to do it. We have to make sure that ramp's wide enough and not steep enough, not too steep, that it actually can just become a ramp. It could be more complicated because you got to make sure you follow the rules, right? but if council wishes Sonny's team, we can figure out what the rules are and bring a design back to the council, right? So the town certainly is within the capability. We don't know how much it'll cost until we actually evaluate it, but Jimmy and Sonny can get the engineer to look at it and make sure we're the proper, because it's all about drop, right? And so once we get the engineer to look at it, we can give you a budget and see if we can get it done before the first of the year if council wants to support it.
Yeah.
I'm supportive of it.
John had brought up the subject, Alabama, Carolina Beach, the next street up. Carolina Beach did have wheelchair access, but one of the storms washed it out. They rebuilt a major portion of the ramp, but did not put wheelchair access in. So,
Okay.
And that's
I'm surprised they didn't do that. Wow.
Yeah.
So, well, we should, in any case, I believe we should take care of our own. Do I have a motion?
Yeah. I move we direct
can
public.
I just ask a point of clarification.
Yes.
Don't you have to make sure that the existing dock meets handicap accessibility?
We do. That's why I said.
It's not just a ramp.
Exactly right. The engineer will have to look at the whole thing. That's exactly right. And that's why I said we need to know how much money we're talking about before council approve it. So, Nancy, you had something for us?
Just a question, John. Is it wide enough? And it's more than three steps. Sand has covered up the rest of the steps.
Yeah, it's more than three steps.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty steep.
That's what I think. That's why I think.
An easement piece of property that we have there. I'm not sure it's going to be wide enough to do a zigzag platform as we've done in other areas, but then again, the dunes are quite a bit lower there. What the mayor was alluding to on the beachfront side, that ramp's not quite as long, so it doesn't go out onto the beach trend quite as far as some. And so the sand is actually built up to that ramp to where it's probably about a 12-inch step down off the end of the ramp, which is why he brought up piling sand up. As far as whether or not it's compliant with ADA standards right now, I have no idea. I have not checked those measurements.
Well, this vote is to determine.
That's right. How much
it'll
cost.
Is to go ahead and go look at it, determine how much it costs so that we can make a decision. But I think at this point in time, we're all in favor of looking at the cost. So you have a motion on the
floor? Yeah, my motion is to direct Public Works to evaluate the cost and bring back to council by the February meeting to make this an ADA compliant beach access.
Second that.
Okay.
And if you can't get it back by then, let us know, and we'll put it on the March meeting, because getting an engineer to look at something may take a while, right?
Right.
So I understand. And in their budget, that'll be in their engineering resource, and then they'll have to tell us how much they had to spend just for that.
Right.
But it could be, it could potentially be a couple of $1,000s just to evaluate it.
Well, your CAMA app's will open in April.
Right. Yeah. We'll apply for grants and stuff once we know how much.
Right.
I think the first thing is to find out how big the elephant is and see if we need it.
Yep. Okay, any other discussion? We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. We will take that action. DOT requests to update ordinances on speed limits. Oh, I did skip you this time, didn't I? Hold on, Nancy. Overpayment refunds on utility payments.
Yeah, so council's seen issues around this three times. So in the July budget, we changed two things. One, we made the second garbage can at a property cost more than the first garbage can. So if you're using a lot more garbage, you have to pay more for it. When we did that, the finance department had to break those out separately. And when they did that, we've had three separate citizens come back to council and say, we've never had two garbage cans and you've been charging me, give us all our money back. And Arlen, as he is supposed to do as the steward of money for the town, has informed council that there's a two-year statute of limitations on recouping overbilling money from a financial entity. The council looked at the data from the three citizens and elected to, which I supported, elected to pay them back to when it started, which was more than 2 years in all these three cases. The reason I wanted to bring this up is it's been 6 months since that change has occurred. People have had 6 months to figure it out and solicit the town so that the council doesn't continue to get barraged with these. What I'd like to do is, now that we've discussed it in an open meeting, make a motion that the finance director be directed to follow the policy for recoupment, and it will go 2 years from when they discover it and inform the town, instead of us keep doing that. I think that's plenty fair enough. It's been on six bills where it's been highlighted in your bill separately. People have had 6 months to figure it out, and instead of the council continuing to do this, we just leave it in the finance department's hands, and them and Public Works work it out with the individual owners for the 2 years if they feel they're so overbilled. So that's my motion to council, unless you guys have other questions.
I would second that.
Okay, so this motion and second for 2 years.
Well, just to follow the state policy.
Follow the state policy for these bills.
And then in the minutes, when people contact him, he can show them in the minutes what the council has done, and that'll stop the continued issues, hopefully. Hopefully people are looking at their bills and have already figured it out. Hopefully. You would like to think, but maybe not.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right.
Passes. Is the bill in question right now?
No, we approved that. You had consistency. That's why when you said you didn't have any items, I was surprised by that. You got emails from all the council saying that we approved to go back. That's why I was.
That one, or was that?
It was on that one. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Go back. Call me if I'm wrong, but yeah.
Okay.
That's why I wanted to bring it up and make it done. Right.
Okay. DOT request to update the ordinances on speed limits. Nancy.
We did receive a request from the Department of Transportation. They're trying to update their codes on some speed limits in town. This is in no way changing any speed limits that are in town. We actually, our code somewhat matches their code in that where the speed limits are as they are, we agree with them. So all we're doing here is I'm asking for a motion to adopt the DOT traffic ordinances, and there's four different numbers there on your suggested motions, and to amend our Chapter 10, Section 82-5 of our Code of Ordinances as presented. It's mainly changing 2nd Avenue to, say, Fort Fisher Boulevard, and it's changing State Road for K, changed, I forget, from 1573 to something else. And then in our code, we talked about it being 25 miles an hour, and I think it was until 4th Avenue, and it's actually until 5th Avenue, and then it becomes 35 miles.
What?
So it's more administrative things, but I do have a very specific motion that I need you to make for that. It's on your suggested motion list.
So it changes no speed limits, it just defines what the speed limits are on the proper streets.
In the code.
In the code. Okay.
And I can review with the attorney and the police chief.
You okay with that, Chief?
No public hearing required for this.
Correct.
Okay. Make a motion to amend the code to read 35 miles per hour on K Avenue, State Road 1573 from 5th Street to town limits west. No. That's what it says, amended code. This requires a motion to adopt DOT traffic ordinances 1031880, 1031881, 1072288, and 1072525. And amend Chapter 10, Section 82-5 of the Code of Ordinances as presented.
I'll second.
Thank you.
Are there any other questions? All in favor? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Even though I get a speeding
ticket, opposed?
I'll vote in support.
Any opposed? Okay. Passes. Unanimous. Okay. Last item under new business. Signage on the beach for the Ethel Dow structure. We have had multiple inputs from neighbors along the beachfront, particularly in front of the just south of the Sea Watch entry. It's at the public access and within view of the pier. We have a hidden structure in the water that we have had signs up. We've had buoys to mark them. We have taken multiple actions in efforts to protect people from that underwater structure. We have spoken to the congressional offices to help us with Dow to see if we can get some support to eliminate it. We have not been able to eliminate that structure. We cannot eliminate the structure. We start to assume some liability for that structure, and it is a state beach. But I do think that we have a responsibility as a council to make sure that people are aware of the structure, and that is where we come into potential conflict with the people who have property there, trying to sell property there, and view it as a hit to the value of their property when they're selling it. Therefore, there was a good deal of work that was done. That work that was done was we changed the posts, we changed the signs. We moved the signs out to 250 feet on each side of that activity, and the signs say swimming is forbidden. I'm not sure how we come up with forbidden, right? That we can forbid anybody to swim there, but... So we have some choices to make. I'd like to open this to discussion, and I know that there has been some interaction relative to this. One, picking a distance from the center of that obstruction so that we can explain to the homeowners what we're doing. Second, to determine that the signs should actually be posted north and south instead of east and west, because the people on the beach can't see the east and west signs unless they're coming out of the water, which kind of defeats the purpose. It also will prevent the signs from reflecting into the homes when the sun is coming down and upsetting citizens. Now, first and foremost, we have to determine what is the distance we are going to settle on. We have gone to academia, CAMA representatives, and asked them if they had a recommendation. They do not. We have gone to the Department of Transportation. And they refer to a code that is about that deep, but they cannot define to us either a distance recommendation. We went to the United States Army Corps of Engineers, and they have not provided input as to a designation. Therefore, gentlemen, we need to decide what we believe that distance should be. So I'm open to discussion on this item. What is the pier?
I'm really surprised that the DOT didn't have that, because I used to work DOT, Uniform Code of Traffic Control Devices, right? I mean, it's like a Bible. It covers everything. I mean, we were talking about, you know, it ties into all the signage. Mm-hmm.
Your visual
distances, you know, with any other situation. So.
Well, we've had three. The problem we have is the obstruction itself. They can't tell us how far we should have the signs from the obstruction, right? Because you've got wave action, you've got it hit buried in sand sometimes, you've got it quite apparent other times. But
how far is the swimming pool up here, Ed, you know? Is it 200 feet or is it?
I believe
no surfing sign.
I believe it's 300 to 400.
It's 250, isn't it?
250 feet.
Feet.
I mean, at least we're consistent then.
Yeah.
If there's nothing else, consistency to an engineer is sort of the deal, right? So if you can't find a rule, follow it like something you've already done. Either 200 or 250, and then, I mean.
So you're saying the structure, the 200 feet on either side. Down.
That's right, yes.
So it'll encompass 400 feet.
Yes.
Plus a little more of the structure, like 60 feet wide or something.
45 feet. Yeah. So that'd be, it would be a total then of 445 or 450 total feet of the beach would be marked off.
I'll just put it right in the middle and place it from there and go 200 feet.
200 feet from the center?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, then you're only like whatever that is.
That's right,
175 feet.
From the edge of the obstruction.
Right.
Well, I walk the beach and it's hard to read the signs walking the beach because they're right up next to the dunes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, if we put them any closer, they'd be washed away.
Yeah.
But we replace them all the time. That's what we try to do with the buoys.
How close is the nearest lifeguard stand?
They keep one in front of it during the summer.
Yeah.
We have a stand specifically in that spot to keep people from it.
Well, I know where the pipe is,
yes.
where I live. If something occurs, the lifeguards will take buoys out and mark the area off. Mm-hmm.
Well, we have
buoy markers.
We tried the buoys.
We tried the buoys. Yeah, they lasted a week. But these are corroded steel spikes, essentially.
When they're uncovered.
When they're uncovered.
And they put up during the heavy traffic, when there's many more swimmers, can they put up a cone, like lifeguards put up cones for the day and take them down the bay?
Somebody move them.
They inform people.
Yeah, we moved that lifeguard tower there specifically for that reason.
Right. Right.
And the problem is, a lot of times people get in the water 100 yards down the beach or 200 yards down the beach, and they're in tubes, and you know, the current's going that way. So as soon as they start to get closer, our lifeguard will either get down off the tower or they'll whistle them over.
But plus, in honesty, when we don't have every lifeguard we need to have, that's a station that's potentially empty.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Right.
Well, and there's plenty of off hours when people are in the water and there aren't lifeguards in early morning and evening.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I mean,
from the center of the problems, if you go 250 each way, you're about 230 from the side back to the edge.
Right.
Okay. Well, that's a recommendation. Yeah. Anybody else have a thought?
I'm fine with it. I mean,
okay,
as long as we have signs there and we have our lifeguards aware. We've been very fortunate or very good, just according to who you ask, I guess. We've had two injuries that I know of in the last 10 years there. Do you know more?
I went to all the records too. It's,
and both of them are pretty small, minor, right? People scrapes, basically.
Thank goodness.
Now, if someone goes doing flips into that and hits it wrong, it's gonna be a different thing. But the lifeguards have done a good job, or people are lucky, or it's not as dangerous as we think it is, but it's still, I mean, when the sand is out like it is right now on a low tide, you can see it's not good. When the sand comes back, it'll be better, I guess.
Okay. So I think we have a distance in mind. Secondly, the positioning of the signs. Are we okay with the signs pointing north and south as opposed to east and west as they are now, with east and west only pointing on the actual beach access, so when you have to see it when you enter the beach?
I think that's something we have to have. We have to have it when you come in from the beach access point, seeing the sign facing you.
So that would point, one would be an east-west sign at the end of the boardwalk or at the end of the walkway.
Correct.
I think there should be one in the center so you see in the water, right? Just like the ones from the pier so surfers can see they're there, right?
Just stagger them. North-south, east-west, north-south, east-west.
Well, that's where we got into there were too many signs, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm fine with one at the north, one at the south, facing north and south so the walkers can see it. Or if you're drifting, you can see it, you're drifting. And then one facing straight in the middle of it, east and west, saying you are now in this problem, right? With the buried metal intake, right? So you can see it if you're in the water. And then that'll help the lifeguards too, because when they're pointing out to people, they're pointing to that. Because they're down by the edge of the water when people are getting ran off by lifeguards. If you can point back, they need to be able to see the sign so they can point it out to them. So I see three signs.
Any input from Beach? I know you guys haven't really had to think about this, but any thoughts?
Well, you know, I think it's important. What David was saying is that you need to be able to see it when you're in the water. You need a visual location of where the actual hazard is.
Right.
Because then you know you have to get out of the water and you're in danger at that point. If you have it north and south, at the north end and the south end of it, I guess that's okay.
Well, then the people coming down can see it.
But if they're not paying attention when they walk by, they're talking, playing on their cell phones, or staring out of the ocean, they could blow right by it, then...
Or they're now close to the water.
Yeah. Well, that's every sign.
I get it. I mean, there's nothing we're going to do just to make everybody happy.
Yeah, so. See, the point here is we don't essentially have a liability here. Other than we have a responsibility.
Right, that's exactly
right. We don't have a liability, we have a responsibility to tell the people. And we're using judgment. Judgment is judgment. It's not based on factual scientific numbers, it's judgment. Judgment can be questioned, but it's hard to prove judgment is incorrect. Therefore, I would like a very maybe specific motion so that... And maybe it could be that we ask Beach Beautification to take a look at what the signs should say, if that's necessary. But I'm not sure we can say. Attorney, can we tell people they absolutely may not swim in that area?
No.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
So those signs are incorrect.
I think a big danger.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
A warning, not... Not
warning.
Danger, warning.
Death and destruction. Right. Don't get the
dangerous structure or something. Yeah. So.
Well, so Public Works just wants to know what size signs.
Where to put them.
Jimmy's like, tell us what to do and we'll do it, right? Yeah. That's council's issue, right? So I agree with John. I think from my standpoint, I can make a motion on where to put them, but I don't know what the signs should say, and I don't really. I want somebody to work on that other than me personally.
Yeah.
I'm open to anyone you guys can take on.
Why don't you refer to the committee that covers that?
Well, I would like to do that committee. You guys take a look at that, what the signs
should
say.
Okay. Crank them up in language.
Okay.
And so do you want a motion on where they go or no? Or do you
want
to wait for the committee to make a recommendation?
I would like a motion on the distance, and I would like a motion on the placement, and then we'll let them determine what it should say.
Fair enough. Okay.
About size.
Let them recommend on size.
We have the size.
I got you. I got you on how many too, right?
Are there camera restrictions?
Yes, on the post and the size.
Yeah, there you go. So we're going to defer some of that. So I'll make my motion, and then I'll let the cherry pickers out there pick, right? I make a motion that the sign committee work with the following guidelines for signage on the beach for Ethel Dow structure. To recommend to council four signs, the north and south sign to be placed facing north and south for beach walkers. 250 feet from the center of the structure, north and south, and two signs facing east and west, one on each end of the actual structure, with the committee to recommend the size and wording for those four signs. Is that enough for you to work on, sir? Get that right? Four signs, two pointing north and south, two pointing east and west, 250 feet from the center of the structure, and then at the ends of the structure for the two facing east and west. Is that clear enough?
Yes. And just, John, you'll have to make sure they're aware of the camera rules on the 4 or 6 inch post thing.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I'll second.
Second? We have a second?
I have a question.
Yes.
The signs that are east-west, we're going to put one of them in the center of where the...
I was thinking one at each edge because it's,
all right, what
it's
about,
only 45
feet. What
about
the beach access point when people are walking up to the beach access point?
That's a separate sign, but it needs to go on the beach access, right?
So there'll be two signs 45 feet apart,
that's
east
right.
and west, and then two at the very tip of it. So you'll leave a big gap there in the middle.
Well, you will have one sign at the entrance to the beach. And
I just think there should be a couple more signs, but I'm not going to rock the boat. The boat's cool.
Well, so the way we got here is...
Let's start with a few signs and we can go to a lot of signs.
The way we got here is there were six signs, and that's why all the citizens that live up there were upset.
Well, they're more upset about reflecting into their dining rooms in the evening.
I think it's according to who you asked why they were upset.
Yeah.
Everybody had a different reason.
Yeah.
Right. Some guy trying to sell his home doesn't like the fact that we say absolutely no swimming, and you actually shouldn't say that.
Right.
So
we can't enforce that.
Okay. So we had any other discussion on that very intense point?
So we are. What did we decide? We're going to. We need to amend the motion to put it. I'd like to see it at the beach access point when people walk up that they know they're walking into a potentially dangerous area.
Yes. David's motion actually included that sign.
I only have four, but there needs to be a fifth one. So
okay,
you can either make a separate motion or amend it.
Let's amend the motion that we would add the access sign pointing east and west.
Yeah.
At the end of the
walkway.
That sign.
We're going to need to buy your post hole digger, Jimmy.
The access sign could be a descriptive sign.
Exactly right.
Yes, it
could
be.
Part of the whole reason why.
Yeah, I think
it
so
could
too.
Be. It could be.
Yeah, it could have a picture of the structure and everything.
It looks like
maybe we could get the state to put up one of those, you know, historic signs.
Well, there is. How far is the historic sign?
It's on Fort Fisher.
It's on Fort Fisher.
30 yards.
Fisher, but not on the...
Yeah, it's not on the beach. And it doesn't identify the structure as still being there. Yes, Steve.
I think we should talk about this one more meeting. This is like the fourth meeting we've talked about.
Sometimes you gotta keep going, right?
Yeah. So I would rather have the fewer signs, five right now. If we need more, we'll wind up with more, I guess. But okay, so any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Good. Okay, mayor updates. I don't have any particular updates to bring forward. One thing I would mention is that the North Carolina Byways will be going to Washington in March to talk to our congressional representatives about drilling along our coast. And we will be seeing if we cannot join that delegation with some of the council members.
So a little consensus of our opinion?
Sure.
Well, my opinion is no, we don't want to drill on our coast.
No, we don't.
I just want to make sure all five of us are in agreement.
Well, you know,
whoever goes.
Good, very good point. Why are we going?
That's right. Why are we
in opposition?
So whoever's going, if you're in favor of it, then I don't know that I want to pay for you going.
We can get 300 people here in February to change their mind.
Yeah, that's why I would rather do it now, so we clearly, everybody understands where we all are.
So
for the commissioners that do elect to go,
right? We do have a resolution in opposition of both drilling and seismic activity along our coast, and nobody here supports that activity. If you do, you'll have to, I mean, nobody at this table, at least we said we didn't.
Right, there you go.
So we'll be looking for people to attend that so that we are represented.
In opposition.
In opposition.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Checking the crowd. Right?
That meeting is the week of the scheduled council meeting.
So rescheduled in February.
And that's
20th to the 22nd is right. That meeting. Yeah.
So if you travel on Monday the 19th, because I assume it will start in the morning, then we'll need to move the meeting scheduled for the 20th back to 15, 16.
Or the week after, one or the other. So the February meeting will reschedule then.
Yeah, let's we can take a you can take a look at your calendars and we can come up with a reschedule for that particular meeting.
So we should put that on the agenda for next month, Nancy.
Yep. Put it on the agenda also for the April meeting. I will be traveling for work the week of our meeting in April, just so everybody can know about it. I can meet April the 23rd because I'll be gone for a week and then I go to Merle Fest the next week.
Nice.
So y'all are going to accommodate me.
Man, you guys' schedules are way too far out.
Wow.
I don't know that, really.
It sounds like you're having too much fun.
We'll also miss the April meeting.
We do have a quorum. We'll have a quorum at 3. But
We'll reschedule it. I can't go that far out of my calendar, so I'll wait.
All right.
You guys are good. Very good.
We'll take care of it. Commissioner items beyond reschedules? Any?
So just for the commissioners, the new commissioners, you'll get something in mid-February on the emergency management required training. NEMS 100, 200, I think 300, 400. I'll have to look it up with Ed.
1, 2, 3, and 700. Right?
Yeah, 1, 2,
yes.
7, and 8. 1, 2, yeah. 7, and 8.
Okay.
You can do it all online. I'll send you the information so you can do it. And you just really need it done before hurricane season. It's probably 4 hours online. So I'll send you the links to that so you can get it done.
And just a warning. It isn't as easy as you might think it would be. Just a warning.
And the reason that training is important for council is if we have a big storm and we do file for FEMA and they wanted to audit our training records, leadership positions in the town are required to have that training. So the police department, fire department leaders, public works leaders all have it. You guys, because you're on council, are considered leaders for emergency situations, and that's why you have to have it. That way FEMA, we did their training, and so they're happy with us. They've never denied anyone reimbursement over that issue, but we just don't want to be the one.
The first.
That's right. So I'll get you the information. That's all I have for you.
Yeah. Okay, any other commissioner items? Okay, may I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Please notify Jim that the meeting is over.
Oh, yeah. It's nice to see all this attendance, too, by the way. Well-attended meeting starting off in January. I think this is like a record unless we had some hot-button issue. Good to see you again.
Yeah,
see you again. Take care of you.